Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today. You bet $100. You get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. And we're also brought to you by the College Basketball Experience. March Madness is heating up, and you need to subscribe to the College Basketball Experience. It's awesome, baby. I don't have a Vital. I don't have a Vital impression. So that's what you get. So welcome to the Golf Gambling Podcast. We got the API DFS preview. It's your boy Boston Capper with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, I'm ready for this week.
I am too. Ready to quickly move on from the Honda. Unfortunately, we got some things to figure out between now and Thursday. We have a weather forecast that might really swing some things. I have just looking at the top of this board, I have a lot of question marks on a lot of guys. We kind of alluded to it yesterday about how certain guys just don't play this event, don't play a lot in Florida. So while they really look really good in the stat sheet here, you know, it's hard to kind of decipher a little bit as far as like, all right, is that actually going to translate here? Or are some of the problems they've had in Florida or just their general avoidance of this state, is that going to be a problem?
Yeah, and it's funny. So, like, on Twitter today, like, you see a lot of, like, course history is pretty fucking important here, like, more important than I thought based on some trends anyway, right? Mm. Trends are meant to be broken. But, yeah, I saw some interesting ones. It's like they got at least the top 17 in their last in an appearance here, top five in an appearance here. Like, it's interesting. But I feel like the field's changed so much now because it's an elevated event. Like, does that trend stick? Does that make sense?
No, it does make sense. I mean, there's a lot of guys in this field, especially like above like $8,000 that usually just skip this thing.
Right.
Like I know Jordan Spieth, he has, I think, one appearance here, but it's a really good finish. Yeah. Xander doesn't come here often. Patrick Cantlay's his first time playing here. Yeah. Finau's played it a couple times, but overall he tends to kind of avoid the Florida scene. JT's only played once. So yeah, it's a little difficult, I think, to figure out as far as like, you know, and with this, you know, we talked about a little bit last night too, with this event, it was really on the downswing towards like the mid 2010s. And then Arnold Palmer died. And then they kind of said, okay, you know, guys will come back honor Arnie. Yeah. And then they made an elevated event. So I think the PGA Tour kind of made this important. It was one that was, might have actually met the fate of the Honda if the PGA Tour didn't actually step in at that point. So it's not a favorite of a lot of these professionals. You heard it last year about guys complaining. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting with this many studs in the field, and then especially for DFS. Like, if the weather is what it is, I know everybody gets on and talks about like wave stacking. Like, I feel like you almost have to fucking, if the weather holds the way it is now, you have to wave stack. Like, the Friday afternoon is gonna be such fucking carnage. It's just going to be horrific if it stays the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably going to be maybe like a, well, I mean, I'm trying to think like, when did they actually start playing? It's probably around 7 a.m. Because the East Coast time. Yeah. And they're going to have to probably, you know, start that early because it is going to be difficult chance that they don't get all the players.
They're not gonna
and
get,
all the, although, although it, It is a limited field, though. There's less players than last week.
They'll still find a way to not finish the rounds on time. It's been how many weeks in a row? Like, it's so frustrating.
It's been a lot.
It's fucking unbelievable. Like, listen, you talk about baseball being fucking slow. The new shit with the pitch clock now, that shit looks great. We need to enforce fucking time on these guys. Like you don't get fucking 3 minutes to fucking waggle and fucking shimmy shag and fucking and take 9,000 fucking practice swings, step away from the ball, get irritated at the crowd for fucking sneezing, get back in, step back out, take fucking 4 minutes a shot. It's insane. Like baseball, like in spring training, looks so much different. It looks like the game that I watched as a kid. There's not going to be any more 3.5-4 hour games. It's going to be a watchable product. Like golf, like if you're not like a freak like we are, like golf, like you would be so frustrated watching these guys. You'd be like, what is he doing? Why is he taking so long? Like, I don't know, whatever.
So you're saying that Patrick Cantlay would incur a lot of strikes by the umpire at that point?
Yeah. I mean, probably. The rules are in place, right? Where they have a time limit, they get put on the clock and then they start getting penalized, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's what's happening.
Enforce it. They want to. All these players want to enforce the "it's a burrowed hole" rule and fucking a fence that I hit it 600 yards left of is a movable object. Let's put the time in play. Let's make them start fucking playing quicker. Like, yeah. Don't give me the "well, you don't know what it's like to line up behind or for a $500,000 putt." You're right, I don't, and that's part of the game. You're supposed to be able to do it quickly, and that's what makes it even more fucking difficult.
No, it's the only ones with balls seems to be the RNA. They actually put people on the clock. And Augusta National, although I think you have to be a foreigner in order to be put on the clock. So, all right, with that, why don't we transition to the top of the board for DraftKings? I mean, so I'm looking at these guys, a giant spread between Rahm, Scheffler, Rory, and then everybody else. I mean, you see it on the odds boards, just like, you know, just for betting. I mean, yeah. All those guys are about 10-1 or under. Rahm is 7-1. Scheffler is like 9-1. Rory's like 10-1. And then a giant gap to, you know, Homa, Morikawa, like 18-20. And you see that in the pricing here. I guess I'm maybe a little caught off guard because it doesn't seem like the spread in DraftKings pricing has been all this extreme, I guess, since we kind of got to this new territory as far as like different fields and, you know, these guys just winning a lot. So I guess it's going to come down to, you know, just looking at ownership right now, you know, taking weather aside. Rahm is getting the least amount of ownership because it seems like that's the hardest way to build the lineup, by eating 11-5 and then having to pretty much skip the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys pretty much in order to fill still a competent lineup.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. And Rory's the mega chalk. And, you know, I talked about it last night. Like, Rahm was squirrely with his driver too, right? But I mean, I don't know, man. Pretty lackluster performances the last couple times out by Rory. Like, is he worth the price? I know his tournament history here, but the last two times was just the top 10. So is 25% Rory at that price? Is it worth him to jam in your lineup? So I did Rory and to see if I could get Rory and the guy I like in the 9,000s and still get a competent lineup. And I was able to, and I didn't even have to dip down into the sixes.
Okay.
And so I think the exercise would be, what can you do with Rahm? Like, if you wanted to use Rahm. But like I said, like he worries me a little bit. Like, he hasn't played here a bunch. And like I said, that driver was not his main weapon. His main weapon was his putter, man. He was fucking draining everything.
Well, so last year's tournament, though, remember around this time, that was when Rahm was struggling around the greens with his putter. I believe his ball striking here was actually pretty good. Yeah. But that was just when, like, whenever you get to a tournament where there's a low green regulation rate and you're struggling around the green, you're going to struggle this place. He still finished, T17. Yeah. Still finished, T17 anyways?
Yeah.
So now that game, that's been shored up a little bit, although his last 12 rounds, I think he's technically losing around the green. The putter is much better, though.
Oh my God.
But I guess this is my next point, though, is when we're figuring out Rory. And Rory right now, his problems with his putter. You know, he's lost a lot of strokes the last two tournaments at Phoenix and here. He was putting pretty well before that. Ever since he's come back to the United States on PGA Tour, it hasn't been good. I guess what I'm thinking with Rory, though, is in a situation, because everything else looks fine. The iron play still looks okay. Off the tee looks fine. Around the green is fine. It's that putter.
Off the tee was shakier to me than his iron play, especially at the Genesis. Like, I don't
Okay. All right. But at Phoenix, it was good. And at his first term of the year in the Middle East, it was really good.
Yeah. Okay.
He gained over a stroke per round there. He gained like 0.75 there. Yeah, you're right. At the Genesis, he technically gained. It wasn't Rory standards though, but just overall, it's okay. The putter has been the big issue. He lost what, four strokes putting?
Four strokes.
Or three strokes at Phoenix, almost five Riviera. That's the issue right now. So you think about last year though, at Bay Hill, no one was making putts.
Yeah.
Absolutely nobody. So if it is a tournament where no one is making putts, if Rory's missing his putts, like, it's not really going to matter as much now, is it? Because everybody's in with him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah, I mean, he lost. So going back, he lost a stroke last year at the API, and the week before that, he gained five at the Genesis.
Right.
So I mean, that's a pretty big difference. I mean, that's a fucking. It's a complete inversion on what he did at the Genesis last year.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It just that, I mean, if the field in general is struggling to make putts, then
that's
what's going to happen. It's kind of like, I think, how Hovland ended up gaining around the green around here last year. I mean, that's another conversation.
Yeah.
But, he was draining a lot of stuff. But, like, I just remember watching, like if, because I had a tick on Hovland watching that final round, like, if he missed a green, I just knew I was screwed. But it turns out that everybody was kind of screwed.
Was screwed.
No one was getting up and down. No one was able to make like an 8 foot, 9 foot putt because those greens just went to hell. So if it is a case where everybody's struggling to make putts, then you might end up in a situation where the eye test doesn't match with Rory. Like, he's not making putts, but statistically compared to everybody else, he might be only losing a little bit or maybe about field average. And if he ends up hitting the ball okay, and given how he's been good here, if he's just field average with the putter, that might be good enough to win.
So is that your guy up here above 10K?
I haven't really decided. I still think I just still really like Scott. I think I just trust Scotty. And there's a lot of different, like, as far as like everything part of his game, I feel like I can just trust you. Like, I can trust him around the green. The driver has been great. The putter has been a little better for him lately. I mean, we just saw him back up a win in Phoenix. I mean, he could technically do that again. It seems like, the putter was really good around this time last year. That's what propelled him. The fact that it's come back, maybe if that continues, we just see it again. I think 10-9 is a nice happy medium between, I haven't really built a lot of ROM lineups, but Scheffler 10-9, I still feel like I can get a couple guys I like up towards the top there. And still feel pretty good about Scheffler. Like, I feel like you're right with Rom. If the driver is a little squirrely, although it's hard to imagine like just how he's been playing, like this is the bust week. But that happens. Like with Rory, if the putter continues to be an issue, and maybe like on Thursday and Sunday where it's not as brutal conditions, maybe that drags him down. I feel like Scotty has a pretty decent floor. I think I can kind of bank on like at least a top 10. I do think though, with how the weather is going to be, we might end up being like a little bit more of like a random situation where the winner's not going to come from here. So if I can just get like a Scotty top 10 and then find the winner down, the pricing here, I feel like I'm okay.
Well, you would think that they would stack the, I mean, what does the PGA usually do with like the studs, right? For when are the ratings going to come in? Is it going to come in Friday afternoon, right? So they're going to put these guys going off in the morning, or are they're going to do some random split, right? So like, there's going to be a bad wave of some studs, right? And are they going to put all three of these guys in a morning group or an afternoon group?
It's hard to say.
I know, that's why.
I think you can probably usually bank on like Rory and JT usually playing together.
Yeah.
Maybe Rob and Scheffler, maybe like Morikawa, Xander. I don't know. I mean, listen, like there's a lot of really good names. There's a lot of really good feature groups that they can make out of this thing.
Exactly.
So, I guess we'll see. I guess my guy is Scotty, but we're putting a caveat on it. Like, we're still waiting for the weather report, to come down with this. So I guess stay tuned.
Yeah, so I'm with you on Scotty. The only thing that worries me is where he ranks with his iron numbers over the last 24 rounds from 175 and over. He's pretty low in this field, like 94th and 101st. 101st for over 200, for proximity anyway.
Right.
So that just worries me. But I'm with you. Like, I want Scotty. Like I don't want to pay 11.5 for Rom. And I don't know. It did worry me, like, how his driver was going. And I don't know. It's pretty lackluster for Murray. Like I said, I know the course history here, but Andy's chalk, like, nah, no thanks. I'll pass.
Okay. All right. Let's, you want to take a break? And then start breaking down the 9,000 hour range where I have a lot of questions.
I think everybody does. But yeah, so listen, the WynnBET is the official online sports book of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there's tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, aka WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. March Madness is almost here, plus plenty of ways to win getting down the NBA, NHL, and XFL. You sign up today to receive a special offer. You bet $100, you get $100. It is limited to state availability. And of course, for our D-Gens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. And all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer is subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And of course, the SGPN merch store continues to add new items to the store every single day. Head over to the store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get your favorite shirts, hats, sweats, and hoodies. And listen, I mean, my all-time favorite. Is obviously the baby fucking whale. It's after me, so you know, yes, my ego. Give me the baby fucking whale T-shirt.
Yes, you were very well known to the SGPN community well before this podcast.
That's very true.
All right, $9,000 range. Why don't I let you start first? Yeah. Why don't you pick some of the guys you like, and then honestly, where how I'm going to approach this, I might just start going right down the list and kind of saying like what my concerns are, what I maybe like. Like pros and cons of every guy.
Sure. Okay. So like, I'm terrified to fade Homer, but once again, it comes out to the wave splits because I really want to. So I don't want to play JT. He hasn't played here. He does play well in Florida.
Yeah. Let's talk about JT in a little bit.
Yeah. So my guy, like I want to play Morikawa. I do. Like I don't know. He won concession, and I already wanted to fucking play him before we texted about that this morning. And he doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of buzz. I mean, other than the cut at Phoenix, I mean, he fucking second, third, and T6 at the Genesis. His irons are fucking firing. He's gaining with his putter a little better. The around the green shit scares the shit out of me, but I mean, that's what you get with him. Like,
I mean, he just had a massive performance at Riviera around the green.
I know. And so it's like, I just wonder if you can back it up. You know what I'm saying?
That's like, true. So because overall, though, I mean, lost a little bit of Farmers, lost a lot of Phoenix, and then had a really good performance of Rip.
So, spike week. And so, like whatever, like trade out the around the green with a spike putting week and give me a regular around the green. Like whatever, like however you want to do it. His irons are firing and you don't want to be in the rough here. He's huge in good drives gains. He's not super long, but he's not short. I think it's funny that nobody's talking about him. Like I haven't seen a single outright on him on Twitter yet today.
Looking at projected ownership right now, it's early, but it does seem like he's getting some pretty significant support.
Oh, he is,
but it's early.
Yeah, it's early, and it changed from earlier. Like it was like 12 or 13 earlier, and like Willie Z was like 25, 26. I don't know if the news that came out later this afternoon changed that ownership by 5%. Mm. I mean, he's right next to Willie Z, who should be like uber chalk, right? Like everybody wants to play him. I remember talking about him until I was blue in the face fucking last year about here, and I think he came in like T40 or T45 or something fucking terrible. So I like Will Z too. I just think he'll be, I want Morikawa over Will Z as of right now. Now, obviously, like we said, like every caveat's with the split, but that's who I like. And if I want to play a 10K guy, I can't play anybody else in this range.
Okay.
But I would not like, I'm out on Cantlay. Let's get your thoughts on some of the other guys. Cause I think I'm out on JT. I'm terrified to fade Homa. I feel like I overrate Xander now. I don't know how I became that guy. I don't even know what happened to me in the last fucking 12 months. Like it's disgusting.
Okay.
So I don't know, man.
All right. So I actually am kind of starting to get in on JT.
Okay.
So here's the case. Okay. We made a case last. Let's talk about the house cat.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. It's come and went. I guess there have been times where it has worked for in our favor. saying that he wasn't going to contend when it was windy or anything like that. There have been times that's really burned us.
Yeah.
So I feel like I need to separate myself from that and kind of look at just the player overall, kind of look at what are the other golf courses I looked at. So, and then just look at like what he's been doing. So I guess if I just ask you a question, what would you say JT's biggest weaknesses have been lately?
It's fucking irons.
Okay, well, other than the irons. Like, what's the one thing you've, like, there's, like, two things you've said about JT for the last, like, year.
Oh, he can't fucking putt into the ocean, and he's squirrely off the tee.
Okay. The putting has been a little better.
It has been better.
It has been better.
Except when you have money on him, you still have to sweat, like, a three-foot putt. It's annoying.
That's true. I mean, his three-putt avoidance is relatively high, but I think a lot of that is older, but the putter has been a little better. At the beginning of the year, so he was driving the ball really well the second half of last year. The beginning of this year was not very good. That seems like that's turned around a little bit, though. Off the tee has been a little better. His problems at Genesis were the irons. Big problem. He lost significantly there. Is that going to happen 2 weeks, two tournaments in a row? Because he was pretty good at Phoenix. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Some of the golf courses, you may already made mention of it. He's been really good in Florida. Obviously, he's got a win at Honda. He's got a win at Players. He got a third at Valspar last year. He's got a couple other good finishes at Valspar. He finished 15th at Concession. He's got another couple top fives at the Players and the Honda. There's a lot made about how a lot of people who typically do well at Quail Hollow do well at Bay Hill, Rory.
Yeah,
mostly, you know, Ricky Fowler, he's done well at Bay Hill here. Jason Day, winner at Bay Hill, winner at Quail Hollow as well. So he's won at Quail Hollow. There also is a decent correlation to, I mean, I'm not really sure about course fit as far as like how it's set up, but like a architect link with TPC Boston is an Arnold Palmer. So let me go through TPC. Let's just derail the podcast right now. And why don't I go through the list of winners at PBC Boston? So let's pull up the Dell Technologies Championship.
DJ.
Yep. So DJ, who hasn't really played out here, but like before that, though. So 2018, Bryson, he won at PBC Boston, won at Bay Hill. 2017, JT, he won here. 2016, Rory. Rory's won twice at PBC Boston. And he's awesome here. 2015, Ricky Fowler. Well, TBC Boston, he's got a couple top fives and top tens at Bay Hill. He's, you know, before he kind of fell off a little bit. 2014, guy you mentioned last night, Chris Kirk. He won at TBC Boston. Pretty good here. 2013, Henrik Stenson. You look at his Bay Hill history from like 2010 to like 2014. He was top five pretty much every single year. So there's a weird, and I actually that same the year that Chris Kirk won, Billy Horschel finished second.
Okay.
Oh, and he's pretty good at Bay Hill. So there's this weird connection with TPC Boston in this place, and you got JT who's won there. Now,
but it's not, the course isn't anything like it though.
But you got similar winners, and you got the same architect though.
Yeah.
So sometimes these things are just stupid and they happen. Yeah, maybe it's golf. The green complexes. You know, there are some hazards there at TPC Boston. I know it's different agronomy.
Did DJ shoot like fucking minus fucking 300? Fucking, we were on 59 watch like 2 days.
All right,
was it Scotty too?
Do you deny any of the names that I mentioned?
No, of course not. Okay.
Scotty finished second at TBC Boston as well in one year.
Yeah, and that was like Scotty would have won any other week,
right?
Like, but DJ was just unfucking conscious. It was crazy.
Okay, so a lot of names I just mentioned there, a lot of success, a lot of winners at TBC Boston or does well there, a lot of winners. You know, at Bay Hill. So look, like, you know, when JT played here in 2015, this is before he was JT, he hit the ball fine that week. It was mostly problems around the green with his putter. So I guess it's the question of, is he going to hit the ball? I think either A, is the wind going to, is he really is a house cat? I don't know. Is the struggles there going to continue? He has had a week off to kind of, you know, collect, you know, and kind of maybe fix some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we saw it Shane Lowry. He just got back with his coach and I'm talking about.
No, I know. Yeah. Sorry.
I know. I know he stinks here. It's the fact that he got with his coach and fixed his iron game. And he's been great the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You never know with some of these guys. So And he's not drawing a lot of ownership.
No.
Given some of the success in Florida, at Quail Hollow, TPC Boston, kind of like JT this week.
I mean, I don't hate it. I just feel like I've been wrong about him a bunch. And like it could just be scar tissue.
Well, you've also been right about him a lot too. I mean, at the players a couple of years ago, he drifted and you're just like, all right, we're just gonna bet it. And it worked.
Yep. Yeah.
I think there was another win that he had that I think you just blindly bet and it worked out for you.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess I definitely don't hate the ownership, right? Based on like the pedigree, right?
Okay.
Like that is, right. Jesus. I mean, if he stayed at that ownership, that's stupid. I could see that.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I could. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So then there's other names with question marks. I mean, Kyle Morikawa, the win stuff. I mean, I tried to look through. So at Torrey Pines, that was what I was thinking of. At Torrey Pines, there was that Friday really, really windy conditions on the South course, and he actually did fine.
Yeah.
But then in Phoenix, he was awful for those two rounds. So I don't really know what to make of that. And I know, just thinking about a lot of windy conditions with Morikawa, it just has not gone well for him. But then you think about he's won in Florida. That was dead calm though that week. He has a second place finish at TPC Twin Cities. That's an Arnold Palmer as well, but that also wasn't really too, the windy. Weather wasn't crazy this week. But again, he kind of fits what you're looking for. It's a guy who's going to hit a lot of fairways. The iron play obviously is tremendous with him. He did just have a spike week around the green, so I know he's capable of it. The putter has been a little better this year too.
Yeah.
So that's the case for him. Finau, his overall track record in Florida is not that great. He hasn't been good on here. Although, so you wonder if it's the Bermuda with him, and actually that hasn't really been the case lately for him. So his recent Bermuda results. Mm-hmm. So going back to last year, fifth at TPC Southwind, where he gained putting that week. Ninth the Tour Championship, he gained putting on those greens. One in Houston, those are all Bermuda. He's been pretty good down to Albany. Those are the same greens as we're going to say here. Seventh at Kapalua. Those are the same greens as well. Okay. So I'm not necessarily sure. I mean, you could be looking at a lot of his Bay Hill history. Not very good. Is a little bit mostly around the putter there. And maybe he's fixed it. Because everything else, other than the fact that he can get a little wild off the tee, he kind of checks a lot of boxes, for that. But he just hasn't been good here.
You know what's funny is I just clicked just the windy as fuck. One and Finau went from where was he at before? Wherever he was at before in the model, I'll tell you in a second. He went all the way to number one when I clicked windy as fuck. He went from 7 to 1. Morikawa went from 2 to 40.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a thing with Morikawa.
I know
it really is. There's a reason why he lost U.S. Open last year. It's because it got windy on Saturday.
Oh, I know.
But so the windy thing with Finau. I mean, I think a lot of it might be. At Houston, it was really windy last year.
Oh yeah,
and he was awesome. Like people love to knock that tournament because he didn't play against anybody that week, but he just crushed everybody. And it was a difficult golf course.
Yeah, it was a great tournament.
Yeah, like good players. If you're in that crappy field, you're expected to win by 5 or 6, and he won by 5 or 6. Like it just exactly. It didn't matter at that point. Like he was what? Like was he like 7?
He was 4 back.
Was he like 17 under when the field average is shooting like 2 over or something?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Oh, God. That was such a good outright win. I'm so happy about that.
Yes.
Anyways, humble brag. You got two question marks with Xander and Cantlay. Xander, he's got that rogue second place finish at the players. And then, I think he's got like a 12th place finish at Valspar. Other than that, it's nothing really to write home about in Florida. The Patrick Cantlay stuff, he purposely avoids Florida. It can't be. There's no question about that. So I have him for a second at Valspar, and that's the last time he played Valspar, ever. And then it's just the players.
Yeah.
That's it. Missed the cut at Quail Hollow in 2021. That's a Bermuda tee to green golf, actually it's rye overseed, but it's a Bermuda greens.
And what do we say about Cantlay? He doesn't show up in majors, so elevated events, they're not majors, but they're fucking big boy events. So maybe it's just...
I mean, he did just win his fourth at Riviera, right?
I guess, but was that really competitive? That was like a, like, oh yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he was kind of a mix.
Yeah.
But still, like, there's something with Cantlay and Florida.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It just doesn't mix. And like the opposite of like Tony Finau is when you actually look at when like he goes to Southwind or he goes to like East Lake or something. Like, he struggles around the greens, he struggles with the putter too. Like, it's a thing. Like, the only real like Bermuda golf course I've seen him actually do well at is probably Kapalua, where he actually putts well there. So same greens, but regardless, like, the fact you just avoid Bay Hill in Florida is kind of weird. And then Hovland, like, is the around the green game starting to go really bad again? I mean, just three straight really bad tournaments. Statistically, he was okay at Genesis, but the eye test definitely didn't like make it seem like that.
Correct.
Again, I guess if you want to make a case for Hovland, if it's like last year where just no one's getting up and down anyways, and he's hitting the ball well, he's just gaining more greens than everybody else, is that enough to make it much of a difference? Yeah. Potentially. You look at some of the other golf courses I looked at this week as far as like where he's done well. I'm sorry I'm rambling, but I think this is pretty important to go through the 9,000 hour race because in my mind, there's no slam dunk. Ninth at TPC Sawgrass, second at Bay Hill, third at Quail Hollow, third at Valspar, second at Concession. So, 13th at TPC Twin Cities. That was the year that, you know, the Morikawa, Matthew Wolf year.
I wish
so a lot of success in like Florida, correlated like cross call courses to guys who had success there, success at Bay Hill. It's tempting. It's tempting.
It is kind of tempting because he blew it at the Phoenix. He absolutely fucking was just trash around the greens.
Oh, yes. He probably should have won Pebble. I mean, the tournament was right there for the taking. I know. Wasn't that great Century, but he won it in Albany, but we don't have any stats from that.
Yeah.
We don't have any stats from Zozo. He was fifth there. We don't have any stats from Mayakoba. He was 10th there.
Yeah.
So, like, on paper, like, the iron play's been good. Off the tee's been excellent.
It's Hovland.
So
long and straight.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to dig in a little bit because I think I saw a number with a three, maybe a four.
I think you can still get a three in front of his name this week in the outright market. So, all right. So that's basically, and then throw all this, you know, all the questions I just laid out there, and you have a weather split. I guess at this point, I kind of made pros and cons of everybody.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you just want to decide for yourself based on what I said, go for it. But I'm sorry we're not giving a lot of actionable decisions right now, but there's a lot riding on the line based on that weather forecast and where guys get their tee times, and we just don't know that right now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But I made a good case for JT.
I mean, I make a lot of good cases and it blows up in my face. I make a good case for Thomas Dietrich and Eric Van Rooyen too. And look what happened last week.
Yeah, that's fair.
So okay. I'm not perfect, but I can make a damn good case.
I like it. I like it. All right. All right. So are you jumping to the 8K range? You want to take another break?
Why don't we take another break? And then we'll go through the 8K, 7K, and any dumpster dives you want to do.
There's a couple dumpster dives. There's going to be one guy who I know you're going to
get
for, but I don't care. Listen, we're also brought to you guys by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog is your home for offseason NFL best ball drafts, and they got you covered for a ton of other daily games, including the NBA, NHL, and PGA. Underdog Fantasy is a great way to get down on your favorite player props if they're not available in your state. Head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Okay, and we're also brought to you by Piper Golf Ball. So, you know, right now you're trying to get ready for your the golf season. Unfortunately, if you're in New York right now, you're going to wait a little bit longer because we got cold and you got snow on the ground. But if you're, you know, in Florida with Capper, you've been golfing for a while.
Yep.
You're going to lose a little golf balls being in, in Florida golf course, a lot of water in it. So you probably go to the store, you grab a premium ball, costs a little bit with your wallet. But so why do that and pay a little extra more when you get another golf ball that performs just as well as the premium golf balls for a lot less? And that's Piper Golf Balls. And they tailor-made a line of golf balls right to your handicap. They have a little chart on their website that basically shows you which line and brand of golf balls right for you. So They got their green line of golf balls. That's for your higher handicaps. You know, when you're a higher handicap golfer, usually you don't have as high of a swing speed and you lose distance off the tee. Well, they got, you know, extra distance gains built into the ball to kind of help you get you a little bit more out there. That'll help you lower your scores a little bit because you're a little closer to the green. They got their line of blue golf balls as well. That's for your 5 to 15 handicaps. You know, it's a little less spinny off the tee. So even if you have a little bit off center hit, it's not going to go too far offline. It's a nice soft feel. It's got a little bit of distance gains as well. It's really going to help you out if you're a mid handicapper. They got their line of black golf balls. That's for your scratch handicappers to a 12 handicap. It's got a little higher spin. So it's a little bit more for like, you know, like a higher launch, softer landing on the greens there. It's got boosted distance gains as well, just like the green and the blue line of balls. But the premium ball, though, the one that can really stand up to the, you know, Pro V1 or the Callaways is their gold line of balls. That's for a handicap that's got, you know, for guys who are less than a 7. This is your Pro V1 equivalent. I got it right here. It's a 4-piece urethane golf ball. Looks and feels just like a Pro V1, you know, the same weight and everything. What really makes it stand out, though, is that it has really good control around the green. It's got a really high spin rate on your approach or your around the green game. Help you get closer to the pin. And that's really a quick way to help everybody lower their scores is, you know, you can go to the driving range, you can hit driver, you can hit your irons, but if you really want to lower your scores quickly, get a hold of, you know, your performance around the green, and you're going to see your scores go down. And the gold golf ball right here can help you do that. So go to piper.golf/GGP. You can get 10% off on your first order using promo code GGP. You can opt to subscribe or receive scheduled shipments on golf balls at a 50% discount. And for any ship orders over $50, you get free shipping on it. So go to piper.golf/GGP and lower your scores today. And then we want to thank everybody who's watching us on YouTube. Make sure you click the subscribe button and catch us every week on YouTube going over every single tournament.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're on mute, buddy.
Sorry. Yes, I didn't want to interrupt your beautiful ad read. I
said, Thank you.
Every single tournament.
You know, you're not the only salesman.
That's right.
There you go. That's right. All right.
Well, because we
spent like a half hour on about 12 golfers. We probably should just go.
We can just burn through.
Okay. So, unfortunately, the guys I like are chalk. Okay. I mean, because it's, you know, a combination of they've been really good here. They fit a lot of things you're looking for. So Sung J M, obviously really good here. He's got 2 top 5 finishes, you know, I think 2 third place finishes in a row. Last week, the iron game was not sharp at all at the Honda Classic, but that's just a couple water balls, which, you know, can happen again. But at Honda, that can happen. Off the tee, he was still pretty good. You know, around the green, still looking pretty good there. So I think I'm just going to trust the fact that, like, you know, I think off the tee, I trust he's going to be in the fairway. We're not that far away from really good iron performances either. Obviously, he looks really good between 150 and 225 and scores well from that range as well. So I think I'm just going to trust the fact that, you know, last week he was not putting very well. Maybe it's an aberration. Scores really well in the par fives. Maybe I'll just go with that. Jason Day is really drawing a lot of ownership, which is disappointing because I really like Jason Day this week, which is dangerous because I'm waiting for Jason Day to basically pop. But
3 top tens, man. I mean, what's not to like?
That's the thing.
Three top tens.
He's got a win here. One at the Players. He's won at Quail Hollow.
Yeah,
a couple other top 5 finishes of Players, really solid history at TPC Boston, including a 2nd place finish in 2010, a 7th in 2014, a 3rd in 2011, some decent finishes at Valspar too. So you talk about a guy who just likes playing really good golf in Florida. You know, obviously you got some crossover between success in Quail Hollow, success here, you know, around the green, pretty good. Off the tee, he's been really killing it. like not only with just the distance gains, but he's hitting a lot of fairways too. That's really important. Obviously a good putter, low three putt avoidance rates. Other than the fact that he's popular in DFS, like, you know, maybe he's just an outright play for me.
Oh, you can't bet him at 30 to 1 or whatever the fuck he is.
I mean, I can find a 35 to 1. Why not?
Stop it.
Okay. Well, you wanted to bet. I thought we were going to be judgment free this week as far as who we were going to bet outright.
Wait, I thought you said I couldn't make fun of you for, was it day?
How about just in general?
Fine, just in general. Fine.
All right, fine. Again, Keith Mitchell is also popular, and I like him too. Yeah. Great Florida history, great history here. Yeah. The fact that he, I remember saying a couple weeks ago, you know, we're talking about the Riviera and how Lee Hodges is up there and Keith Mitchell was up there. I'm like, all right, Lee Hodges is going to fade. But Keith Mitchell, I thought, was a guy who can go toe-to-toe, and he did. He went toe-to-toe with all those guys. You know, still got a top-five finish. So he spiked a little bit with around the green. Other than that, has been all that successful. But driving, he's been awesome. You pointed this out a couple weeks ago about how, like, he's just hitting a ton of fairways.
Yeah, man.
He's hitting really great out there. Always pretty good on Bermuda. What scares me with him is that his three-putt avoidance is usually pretty bad. But we'll see. Scores well in the par fives. Yeah. I think about like what his career trajectory could be. Maybe he's becoming like a Gary Woodland type. He was a little bit of a late bloomer. Like Woodland got a win early in his career, kind of fell off a little bit, but then like started in his 30s, got a little bit more confidence in his game. You know, he didn't end up winning a major until he was 35. And, you know, now we're seeing Mitchell have a lot of really good quality finishes now.
Okay.
Maybe this is like a Gary Woodland trajectory, and Woodland's been really good here. So maybe that's something to kind of monitor. So
I like that.
Those are my guys. I guess if I kind of make it a case for Rory up there, if you want to make a similar case for Spieth, as far as if no one's making putts, then no. I agree with that because he's been really squirrely off the tee as well.
Yeah.
So that can be a problem. But if he has that under control, I can see a path where, yeah, his putter has been awful, but if everyone's missing putts.
The problem is he misses the fucking 3.5 foot putts.
That's true. Which is not great.
It's not the 10, 12, 16, 20s. It's the 3.5.
Yeah.
Like it's, yeah.
Fair enough. Cam Young, who I guess technically could do a Bryson impersonation, but man, he's been awful around the greens and awful with the putter. And he also has stopped being like really deadly accurate or like relatively accurate for as long of a hitter he is. It's kind of been spraying it. And I don't think that's a good recipe here.
Yeah.
I don't know, Fitzpatrick, there's something going on with him.
I know, because I that was somebody who I was looking to bet outright, and like whatever. The ownership play, maybe. I don't know, man.
You want me to speculate about what I think's going on with him?
Yeah.
So you saw it a little bit with Bryson about how
the swing speed.
You did the speed training, and then the iron play kind of goes to hell.
Yeah.
Because originally Bryson, like off the tee and irons were like awesome for like 6 months. And then the iron play really started to get bad. Maybe that's happening with him. There's also injury concerns as well. But overall though, even the last 50 rounds, he's underwater with, you know, the irons.
Yeah.
If you want to make a case for Fitzpatrick, if it's really difficult to hit greens, then the fact he can get up and down is okay. I mean, Bryson, I think, even came to this tournament without really good iron play, and he won.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's concerning to see just really, really poor iron numbers from Fitzpatrick.
Yeah. I agree. So, like, he's a maybe. I can't get up to him anyway with most of my builds. Most of my decisions are coming between two chalk guys, one no chalk guy. So Terrell Hatton, obviously super chalk, played really well over in Europe, did just too well at Genesis, did great at Phoenix, obviously great course history here, plays Florida really well. If you can differentiate yourself somewhere else and you're not super chalk, I don't hate playing Hatton. And then
by the way, can I just ask a question? I'm sorry to interrupt you. Can I ask a question?
Sure. No,
because you're the finger, you know, at the finger on the pulse on social media. Are people making the Wentworth argument again? Remember that?
Nah, I haven't seen that.
Not That's yet. All gone now.
Yeah, I think that one's okay. gone. I think that one's gone.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
I was gonna say, and this is a conversation for Shane Lowry. I wonder why people aren't talking about Shane Lowry because he just won at Wentworth. So.
Yeah, that's funny. I didn't think about that. I forgot about that until you just said it. I didn't see
it. Well, maybe that'll bring it back then. Oh, I was never a believer in it, but I know that anytime people would talk about Hatton, like, oh, you went to Wentworth.
Wentworth, exactly.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tree-lined English old golf course to Florida.
Yeah. Well, but his course sister here is good. He loves Florida. I don't know. He's somebody I trust with the putter, too. You know, I don't think he could win, but at 8,300, I think he can show good here. And I think Burns is interesting. Super low ownership for him. Obviously, you put him on Bermuda, you want to play him. Cotton Phoenix look good in Cotton Genesis look good in Phoenix. Look good at the Amex, but prior to that, kind of shaky, a little squirrely off the tee. His long irons aren't terrible.
A little squirrely, I think he's
a little squirrely.
Irons haven't been all that great either, but you're right.
His long irons have not been good at all. But like, this is more of a the same thing with like a pedigree play for me. Like, it's like, all right, well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like I remember when I texted you, was it where he got cut at Genesis? I was cussing him out, and I was like, he only wins easy tournaments. And then you pointed out to me, he does not only win easy tournaments. So,
remember that Colonial final round? It got really super windy.
Yeah.
You think about that.
So I like him, especially if his ownership stays low. I like Keith Mitchell too, but I think he's more of an outright play or a bet play for me.
Okay.
I don't know if he can take down a field like this. He might be able to though, because he really is a fucking stud off the goddamn tee, and he's on Bermuda too. He's another guy I really like. But like, seriously, the way I'm building, if I go 110, 109, I can get up to I can probably dick around a little bit and maybe get up to day, but
yeah,
that 89 to 8,500 range is fucking typically dead for me. I think I would love if Rom, Scotty, and Rory all got the fucking bad wave and I could just skip that and fucking just make a sexy ass lineup with a bunch of nines and eights. Oh,
that would be pretty nice. What about Tom Kim? He's kind of lost a little bit of shine there. Yeah, I think I agree. I think with how punishing the rough is, and he hasn't been driving it all that great lately.
Yeah, he lost his accuracy, it looked like.
Yeah, so with how punishing the rough is, he's so short. That might be a problem.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I don't trust Decky yet. If anything, I take his silly betting number. I wouldn't play him at DFS. That's the entire 8K range. There, so for the 7K range, let's not go through the whole thing because there's too many of them. Let's grab a handful of guys you want to either have questions on or you really like or that you don't want to touch at all.
Okay. So Sahith Tagala, he keeps playing this game of like awesome tournament, bad tournament, awesome tournament, bad tournament.
Yep.
And we're on that track again because he just came in off an awesome tournament at Riviera. He wasn't very good at Phoenix, awesome at Torrey Pines. We're due for the down week with him. Yep. But man, that's another guy who just is really good around the green. Decent putter. His proximity and his irons have been good. Just off the tee, he is so wild.
Yep.
That, I mean, you got to miss in the right spots.
Yep.
But he can do it. I don't know. It's interesting to me that about how he just like is so up and down. I think that's why it never seems like he's popular because everybody's so reliant on these stat models and like, he has some really ugly data, like just packed into the last 50 rounds, like surrounded by really elite stuff.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out.
Yeah. He's way more popular on the outright betting card than he is at DFS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it seems like he shows up too, like on some of the like golf courses that like you absolutely like, can't drive it poorly. Like Torrey Pines, you can't really drive it poorly. And Phoenix can't really drive it poorly. He says he could finish there.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like TBC River Highlands, you can't drive it poorly there. I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
I'm surprised that Shane Lowry doesn't have as good of ownership just because he's been better lately. But you're right, the course history here is bad. So
it's bad, bad.
So I mean, I look back at 2021, he just wasn't playing all that good coming in. You know, and then he turned it around at Sawgrass. So I don't know. But I mean, I know talking about Lowry, like, you know, like I remember talking about, like, for the Masters, he was never all that good. And he suddenly was good.
Yeah.
So maybe the fact he's kind of turned around his swing. He's been really bad with a putter, though. It seems like this should be a Shane Lowry golf course because he's pretty accurate off the tee and the irons are good. Yeah. One at Wentworth, so he should be good here. So I don't know. I guess that joke didn't land.
Sorry, I just realized Kim and Munoff were in the
they're going back and forth. Hi guys, how you doing? All right, so judgment free zone for Ricky Fowler, right?
Yes.
Okay. A lot of really good courses, like Rory, they've been successful at a lot of different the same golf courses that's been, you know, used to correlate success at Bay Hill. So for example, Quail Hollow's won there, won a TPC Boston, won a Players Championship. You know, won a Honda Classic. He's got a couple top five finishes here, and he's been playing just really, really good golf. It reminds me a lot of what Jason Day's doing right now, as far as like off the tee. You know, he's kind of vacillated back and forth between like, you know, some losing weeks and gaining weeks, but like overall, you know, he's got some pop off the tee. He's gaining a lot of fairways as well. The iron play has been just really tremendous. He's had some spike putting weeks. You know, some down weeks as well. But I mean, I can see like Ricky being in the mix this week. Okay. You know, just given his track record here, his track record in Florida, the fact that I've seen him do well at other Arnold Palmer golf courses. The ownership is a little high though, but I do like him this week.
He's a Jupiter guy too, right? Isn't he lives down in Jupiter, right?
Yes. Yes, he is. He plays out a Medalist. Actually, I think I referenced this, Rick Shields, the golf vlogger, played around with Ricky Fowler, and he looked good. Okay. I mean, obviously, it's a laid-back round of golf, but like everything was pretty solid. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
it. So I'm not surprised that his game is as good as what it has been doing right now. He's had a lot of swing changes, and obviously, it's helping right now. Seamus Power's not drawing a lot of ownership, but he's just playing good. Man, like, I mean, obviously, he's played this once and he bombed out, but that was when Seamus Power just kind of went into purgatory. Like, he was really good at all these easy events, and then he went to Phoenix, and he sucked, and he went to Riviera, and he sucked, and he went here, and he sucked. But he played Phoenix, right? And he was top 20? He was top 20. T20 of Phoenix, T14 of Riviera. So now he's actually starting to do it on...
He's a better golfer now.
He is. I mean, and after that, and he had a good showing at Sawgrass. He had a good showing at the Masters. He went top 10 at Southern Hills. And I mean, the proximity numbers are pretty bad for him, but he's really good around the green. He's a good putter on Bermuda. Doesn't have a lot of three putt scores well in the par fives. I mean, that's pretty good for $7,400 with not drawing a lot of ownership. So yeah, he hasn't been doing good here. I think he needed to take his performance last year with a little bit of context. I know I ragged on the guy a couple of podcasts ago, but $7,100, Taylor Morey kind of does some stuff for, you know, really good driver. You know, around the green game, it's nothing special, but it's not horrible. You know, decent putter, positive on Bermuda. So the iron play has been pretty good lately. I don't think he's drawn a lot of ownership. I think he had like a top 40 finish last year, so that's okay. That's basically about it, though. I mean, obviously, I'm still kind of digesting with the weather and stuff, but those are the guys that stuck out to me.
So on the higher side of the 7K range, I like, let's see, how high do I like? So if Corey Connors' ownership stays this low, I'll consider it just because of the course history.
Yeah, he's been bad, though.
I know. That's why I said I'll consider it. Yeah. Like, I'm not excited about it.
Right.
I don't know what to do with Chris Kirk.
You know, as far as backing up the win last week?
Yeah, I don't need him to fucking win at 7,700. He's got two top fives, right? In the last two times here. Like, he obviously likes fucking playing in Florida. Like, but what does one win after 8 years do to somebody? Like, playing, I'm chair psychiatrist, but.
I don't know. I mean, it's like trying to figure out what these guys are doing. Wind. Who knows?
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
So I mean, he's not partying afterwards, which is nice.
That's fair.
That might be a plus.
It would be.
Yeah. But, so, but you're right as far as like what happens if like does he lose his edge?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna do with him yet. I'm playing Keegan unless he's in the bad split. But I don't give a fuck. Yeah. He didn't look good in Genesis, but he looked good other than that.
He's been awesome here.
Yeah, it's everything because he's everything you want. It's right. Fucking straight and long, and fucking good long iron player. And if nobody can putt, fucking great. And now Keegan can actually putt. So
yeah, we'll honestly, like looking at like a lot of the courses I like looked at, like fifth at Players last year, second at Valspar, great history at Bay Hill, seventh at Doral in Florida, some decent finishes at TPC Boston.
Yep,
not bad, man.
Fuck, he's gonna take all my money this week. All right, and then
Judgment free over here.
Yes. Thanks, buddy. I wanted to play Woodland, but he's too chalky. And plus Baroff would fucking never let me hear the end of it. So I'll go to my brand, the ear. Because if it's windy as fuck, he plays well in it. And I know you love when I say that. And but he's long off.
You can't really back that up with facts. You just say it's
windy. I know, I just say
because you're like I test and I can't refute that.
I test.
Because it's just your personal opinion at that point.
It's my feelings. It's my feelings.
Dude. Yeah, and you always reference the wrong Euro Tour term.
I know. Yeah. It's so fucking funny. Yep. You know my memory is shit for the most part. But listen, he's long off the box, like a good around the green, can drain putts. Like, what?
Yeah, I mean, that worked last year here. So, yeah, why not roll that back again?
Yeah, why not, man? And then I'm actually going to go back to Minwoo Lee, like,
okay.
He did fine. He wasn't crazy. Like, I mean, it was stupid for me to bet him outright at that fucking number, but I don't know what the fuck I was doing last week. I mean, I could have got the winner from 5 points left.
He was the new toy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, he's just bad around the green. I mean, he was fine off the box. Like, he was fine off the box, just couldn't get up and down. So, I don't know. And if everybody's not getting up and down, maybe we'll have a Hovland situation. Once he gets 7,300 and he's going to be less than 5% owned, I'll take it.
Okay.
And then... I'm with you on Moore, and that's a Ryder. I want to play Sam Ryder again. Although I want to find out a little bit more why he withdrew.
Where did he withdraw from? Was the Honda last week?
Yeah, the Honda.
Maybe he knew he was going to play Bay Hill and decided he wanted a week off.
Maybe. I hope so.
I mean, like he's pretty high in the FedEx Cup points standings right now because he had that really good finish at Torrey, and wasn't he good at?
Two top 20s, man, at Phoenix and Genesis.
Yeah, he is 52nd in the FedEx Cup, although it's top 70 this year. 70, but
still.
I mean, he knew he was going to be in the player. Yeah, that would have been 5 straight weeks of him playing. So yeah, he probably just got a week off.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going back to Ryder.
Okay.
I like him at 7K. He makes some shit fit.
All right.
So yeah, I like him.
Okay. All right. How about under $7,000? So you like?
All right. So my favorite play.
Okay.
is ZJ. I'm going back to Zach Johnson. I mentioned him last week and he fucking T12'd, man. Like, and you would think that he wouldn't fit well here, but he's got a decent course history here. And I know it's a different
from like 1982.
No, you stop it. Stop it. Hang on, let me pull it up. The Zach Johnson. Yeah, okay. It's not the best, but he's 6,500 and make the cut.
He consistently makes cut. You're right. It's a fifth place in 2016, a ninth place. Yeah, so basically when ZJ was relevant. But you're right. I mean, he hasn't missed a cut here in a long time because he hits a lot of fairways and he's good around the green. And this isn't really a driver heavy golf course. So yeah, I guess I can smell what you're cooking.
Yeah, it's just so to make some shit fit because I was looking at Hoffman again.
Has his live contract never come through?
I guess not. Like,
God, he would be perfect over there. And plus, he just had Charles Howell III, who dominates Mayakoba, win over there. He's probably kicking himself because he's a former winner of Mayakoba. He probably would have won the. Last week, we got him $7 million like at CH3 did.
Unfucking believable.
Jesus Christ.
Good for him. Good for him, man. Whatever.
Who cares? Yep. Tiger made him a lot of money, and then now Greg Norman and Liv Golf in Saudi Arabia made him a lot of money.
Just doubled his like career earnings, career wins.
Yeah, he's made like $60 million like career earnings in like PGA Tour, and then That's probably off, but it's a lot of money for Charles Howard.
Yeah, that's a shit ton of money. Yeah. So they were saying like his winnings, I guess they were talking about the tournaments he won, was like 3.5. I guess I wasn't thinking about all the top 10s, top 20s, all that bullshit.
Right. Anyways.
He made fucking $30 million on the tour?
I think he did. All right, you keep talking. I'll look up Charles Howard III's career earnings on the PGA Tour.
Unbelievable. All right. Jesus, I gotta get my daughter to take golf more seriously. and then I was thinking about going back to Bramlett too.
Okay. Yeah, he faded over the weekend, but I don't mind that.
I don't mind him. He's 6,700. And like, you know, Smalley's gonna be chalky. I'm gonna avoid any of the chalk down here. Cam Davis is appropriately priced at 6,700 to miss the cut.
God, what happened to that guy?
I don't know. Who knows?
He still looks good in the stat stuff, but holy hell. I mean, it's mostly the putter. I guess over the last 12 rounds, he's lost 1.6 strokes putting.
Who? I don't mind Pendrith here.
Yeah, why is Pendrith only $6,900? He's not drawing a lot of ownership either.
I mean, T7 at Pebble, and other than that, he hasn't done shit in a while.
I know, but like,
it's just,
geez, I think
100 feels appropriate in this field.
I think he's talented, and I
think Francesco Molinari is talented, but I think he's appropriately priced at $6,900.
I mean, he's making cuts at least.
Yeah,
so I'm cool with that for $6,900 Taylor Pendrith. All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely not on Benny Ann fucking chalk. Like, you know.
Yeah, that
will never turn out well.
No, probably
not going back to, Cole. Not going back to Cole. He did it all with his putter. Cool story. Like, whatever. Thank you. No.
Yeah.
Kiriyama's interesting, but I think I can skip on him too. I just think my guys down here, I'm gonna go with who I said. That's it. I mean, I'll take a look at the wave splits and see if there's anything else. But like Ben Griffin's like the fucking Uber chalk down here. I'm not playing a fucking 9% Ben Griffin. No.
That's too bad. I like Ben Griffin. He's always chalk. Can everybody stay off my guy?
So yeah, I like Bramlett there. I mean, even he's a little high owned for a fucking 6K guy. I figured Hodges and Riley would have fucking took some of the ownership. But like, let's just what day is it? Today's Tuesday or Monday? Today's Monday. So we still got a couple days,
right?
And I'll play ZJ. I know that for a fact. I was toying with the fact of playing with Lipsky, but I feel like that ship sailed. PK fucked me on him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm done with Sig for a little bit. I'm done with Lauer for a little bit.
Okay.
I could talk myself into Glover, but there's no reason to go down here. You don't need to go to 6,100. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with you. A lot of names a lot of guys you named. I'll just throw one more out. Patrick Rogers. $6,900. Made the cut here in 6 of 7 events, including a T24 in 2020, a T18 2017, T14 of Phoenix. Some good finishes last fall. I mean, he's missed the cut in 3 of his last 4, which isn't ideal, but a guy that is pretty good around the green and a good putter, doesn't make a lot of 3 putts. You know, that can probably work here. And the fact he's had a lot of, you know, decent course history here. It doesn't seem like he's drawn a lot of ownership either. I kind of like that. By the way, Charles Howell III, PGA Tour official earnings, $42 million.
Unfucking believable.
Thank you, Tiger Woods. And I believe he's only won once, I think. Or no.
No.
Three times.
Yeah.
Good for him.
The only reason I even knew that is because I heard that stupid shit today about like fucking, I would never have known
he
won 3 times. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now it's 4.
It was like, so.
Congratulations, Charles Howell III, on your 4th win.
He made like 3.5 or something, like right in the low 3s for all his PGA Tour victories and whatever he made with the team and all this other shit. Did you notice that shit about the live thing too, by the way? Like, I was just trying to check my fucking my top 10s and the stupid best. And the first thing they put up is the teams. I'm like, what the fuck?
I gotta click on
the players. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about your team. Stop. Fetch isn't gonna happen, Liv. It's not gonna happen. We only care about the fucking players.
Great reference. They desperately want to sell the franchise rights, so that's why they're pushing the teams.
Oh yeah, dude. Some of those articles. Oh, we were texting about it. We're gonna take a piece of the 4 aces, right?
Exactly. For $17.32. It's probably the fair value of all the assets there. I mean, the team concept's not going to work unless like everybody on the team is like good. And even then, it probably won't work. So I feel like, though, internationally, because F1 is more popular and that has a team element to it, I feel like internationally that probably would play a little better because Americans are selfish and just all out for themselves. So they only care about the individual. It's probably why there's been more backlash here than maybe other places. But
You know me. I lean pretty heavy left, and even I don't give a shit.
It's hard to get behind these teams when there's like
Aren't there teams in NASCAR?
There are. It's not quite as important though. It's mostly about the driver. Like there's constructor championships, but no one cares about it. But in F1, the constructor championship is hugely important. So again, the international stuff, I feel like that's what it's more geared towards, not Budweiser's drinking Americans.
America. Bud Heavy, baby. Let's go. America.
There you go.
All right. Fucking you got anything else?
No, that's it. I'm hoping to get some tee times, a little firmer weather forecast. I have only two outrights. I will complete them by tomorrow night show when we'll have Joe Idoni here.
I'm not completing anything until I know the fucking tee times and weather spots.
We'll know that tomorrow, I think.
Maybe.
We're going to know tee times at least.
Okay, that's fair. Yep. All right. Okay. I don't want to lie to the people. I thought you were talking about tee times for you. I was like, you got snow. You ain't fucking golfing.
No, we should know tee times for the Bay Hill probably early afternoon tomorrow.
4 o'clock. Yeah, 4 o'clock is typically when I'm, because I'm always like, when the fuck are the tee times out?
You're antsy. You're not patient.
No, I'm not patient because I got to start fucking figuring out who I want for first round leader. And...
Oh, boy.
Rory.
Yes, probably.
I think he's done it here twice.
So just single bullet Rory then.
That is less than optimal. All right. So we got Joe Idoni tomorrow night. Tune in for that. Other than that, yeah, man, a lot of the shit depends on weather, guys, and so pay attention. Come chat with us in the Discord. Yeah, we'll try to keep you updated on that, but yeah, it looks like as of right now, it looks like Friday p.m. is gonna get fucking destroyed, so that's really it's really gonna shift a lot of stuff. And listen, weather stacking, like, everybody will talk about it and then people will start building and get uncomfortable with it. And like, whenever I've done a good weather stack, TPC, who was the last place I did it at where I cleaned up? I don't know, whatever. Like, people who are smarter than me will put out like the percentages of who did actual weather stacks. And everybody talks about it, and it always comes in like sub 20% of the entire fucking tournament did weather stacks. So you can really gain yourself a leverage there. So yeah, I would definitely pay attention to the weather. And once the tee times come out, start studying some of these fucking scrubs you might not want to play, but might be in that good wave stack. So other than that, see you boys and girls here tomorrow to chop up the betting card with our boy Joe Idoni. Break them fucking DFS books.